I just came back from the joy of spending time with my 4 and 2-year-old grandchildren and their parents. It was a delight. The 4-year-old we'd been with for about almost 2 weeks because he and his father had come up to join us at a cottage we rented for a week, and then I drove them back. One night I was to put the 2-year-old to bed. I was often with her brother, called the closer, when I was around. I had to do the final putting to bed. And the sister's no easier than the brother. And for 45 minutes, she yelled at me. But we did manage. She did fall asleep. I think we were both exhausted when the experience was over. May God bless us as we look at God's word together. This past week, a cousin of mine passed away. This cousin was perhaps different from most people. Being my first cousin to pass away, actually, he at the age of 59, causes me to ask a lot of God-type questions. Edgar probably would have been diagnosed today with Asperger's syndrome, a diagnosis on the autism spectrum. He was an odd child, the oldest of 6. He had a series of health issues in his 40s and 50s. He forged out a career as a truck driver, though there were aspects of this which were phantom to the rest of us. He was a loner, moving in and out of family reunions when least expected. He would suddenly show, as his siblings talk about it as Edgar time, he would suddenly show up. He would be notified when a reunion was or when a happening was, and then all of a sudden he would just show up. And just as soon or just as quickly he might leave. It was clear that he was a kind and considerate person, although always clumsy in his doing this, but as generous as you could get. This week, from emails from cousins and aunts and uncles have poured in. One aunt yesterday described how Edgar would phone her and say, "I'm 20 miles from your place." They lived in Goshen, Indiana at the time. "And wonder if I can come for supper and for night." Aunt Mary described how she would feed him, and then he would shower, and then music would come from the bedroom. He had some capacity for playing the piano. She describes how on one occasion how she would join him and begin to sing some of the hymns he was playing. Closest relatives often did not know where he was or what he was up to. Yet one had the sense that Edgar was a child of God, that a child of God, and he knew it, and that God knew him. His life was often a heartbreak for his parents and family. Yet the hymn we will sing after this brief meditation, "Nothing is lost on the breath of God, nothing is lost forever," speaks to me of Edgar. About 6 years ago, I was living at my parents' in Southern Ontario as I was intern pastoring in Vineland. A cousin of my father's, perhaps at that time in his early 60s, committed suicide, and I was able to go to the funeral. John was the son of a Mennonite pastor. Eventually, he would have the dual diagnosis of schizophrenia and bipolar mood disorder. Now we label these together schizoid affective disorder. I remember as a child, John being probably about 8 years older than I was, as a camp counselor at the Mennonite camp I attended in Ontario called Silver Lake. I remember how my aunts described him as an odd person. And after the death of his parents, he would occasionally show up at my parents', my dad being a significantly older cousin, to visit for a few days. He was sort of a wandering child without roots. His roots had gone. He was an orphan in his 50s. He would leave after a few days telling my parents that a motorcycle gang was after him, and if he didn't leave, my parents might be in trouble. Although perhaps there might have been some nugget of truth or story behind his own feeling or thinking, this was in all likelihood an illusion that he lived with. He committed suicide in his brother's basement. Our psalm this morning provides comfort for both John at various points in his life and for his brother who had to live with the dark reality of his brother committing this violent act in his house. This past week, I have had a significant health encounter. While visiting with my children and grandchildren in Chicago, I became extremely dizzy and nauseous. After 8 hours of it not going away, I sought some medical attention, and in the end was diagnosed with heart fibrillation, and am now in need of changing my diet and on certain types of medication for the rest of my life. I was assured that many people live with this, but the danger of clotting is there, and that's what the drugs are for. Considering the health constraints that some of you have here in this congregation and are under, this is a fairly minor, treatable condition. But it certainly makes me wonder and long for God's presence in my life. We have now had 3 Sundays in our summer series on creation. The first dealt with God's forming all of the earth and the heavenly bodies with God's word. The second looked at how we can understand God through different parts of creation. The third dealt more intimately with God's creating humankind and the roles that humankind play in God's creation. But today's psalm turns us more inward. It is an incredibly intimate psalm of God's relationship, God's knowledge of us. James Waltner, the person who has written the commentary for Believer's Church Bible Commentary on the Psalms, suggests that our psalm has had perhaps 3 broad ways in which it has been read, all of which can serve us this morning. I will change the order that he mentioned them and mention each briefly. The first I will mention is this psalm has often been used as an expression of thankful praise for God's wonders. Verse 14, I praise, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know them very well. What an incredible affirmation that God has made all of the world that God has made. And God has made each one of us. Each hair on our head, each fingernail, the wonders of the heart pumping in me. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Wow. It's just an incredible feeling to wonder that way. Second, it seems to be perhaps originally that the prayer of this psalmist was of someone who was accused of doing something by others, someone who believed that the accusations against him were false. And then he says in this whole psalm, but God knows me better, better than those accusing me. God knows all of me. It is perhaps both a prayer for God to save me when the world is against me, or at the very least a lament to God. God, you know me. God, you created me. God, you know my thoughts. Only the rest that I can have is in you. The only rest I can have is in you. No one else gives me rest. Everyone else gives me problems. Or third, he suggests, the psalm has often been used as an understanding of wisdom, a reflection of wisdom on God's active presence in our lives. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You discern my thoughts from far away. Bring the depths of our worries to the darkness of our souls, the deep questions about our children, about our siblings and our parents before God. Where can I go from your spirit, the psalmist asks. You know me so well, God. You know me so intimately. Such incredible poetry. If I ascend to heaven, you are there, he says. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. And we must remember that for the Egyptians who believed that the sun was the god, and the sun set at night, and then God was not present again until the morning. But the Hebrew psalmist, different from the Egyptian, says, no, you are there in my darkness. You are there in my Sheol. The night is as bright as the day, he says. We cannot go where God is not. Perhaps this is one of the hardest concepts of all, and one that actually a few other scriptures in the scriptures give us some balance to. The majority view is this, that God is with us even in our darkest moments. That is said time and time and time again in various psalms and in many places by Jesus and by others. But I do want to remind us that there is another biblical view, a minority biblical view, that allows for those times when we can't even see God in our darkness. And Psalm 88 comes particularly to the attention, and I'm going to read parts of Psalm 88. This is someone who is also in darkness, but can't see the goodness of God at that moment. Let's listen to some of Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry to your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for that are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit. He's blaming God here in this psalm. This is biblical. In the regions dark and deep, your wrath lies heavily upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord God, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes to you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death I am. I suffer my terrors. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults me. They surround me like a flood. You have caused friends and neighbors to shun me. My companions are in darkness. And that's how the psalm ends. And so there is even place in the psalms to walk with people who can only see the darkness. But our psalm today reminds us that there can be hope. There may be people in our lives for whom we must hold the candle. We can't tell them there, everything would be better. Sometimes we can only walk with them in their darkness, but know in our hearts that there may come a day when this psalm can be read to them. But we can hold them in their worst nightmares, and holding in our own hearts the hope for which they on this day or in these days cannot. So there may be a day when they can hear this psalm again. Nothing is lost. God knows us. God knows our innermost soul and wants to love us. God wants to hold us in the palm of God's hands. God wants to give us that spirit. Our closing song today is a song that breeds this psalm. And I'm going to invite us to have some prayers as we listen to it played through once or twice. So I would invite... So she will begin to play, and I will invite you to pray. And then once I think we've heard the song played twice, then we will sing all three verses. Let's pray.